Yeah, I got 5 hours on my battery, so.
5 hours, yeah, that's good. Great.
Depends how many times that okay. Skype bill goes off. Yeah.
So I will say he has three paragraphs here, which he lists as Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. He says that the Rabbanan made a gzerah, which means a fence around the Torah, and prohibited shehiyah, which means on Erev Shabbos leaving food on the fire in order for it to cook on Shabbos. It would be interesting to think, by the way, on the side, what would be if he left food in a pot on the fire on Erev Shabbos and he had no intention of cooking it. Again, I can't think of an exact case right now, but if such a case came up, it seems like the Rabbanon were afraid that since he's interested in cooking the food, and that's going to happen on Shabbos, therefore there's a chashash, there's a fear, and that's why they set up a fence. Shema yavo lachtos b'gecholim. So that's in the third line, you want to underline it, because that's the key phrase over here, that he's so eager to maintain the heat and maybe even increase the heat to make sure that the food will be ready when he wants to eat it, fully cooked, so he starts poking the flames, the coals. And therefore Chazal required that in certain situations you must remove the coals from inside the oven, the stove, meaning remove the source of fire, in this case the coals, the gecholim, through a process which is called ligrof velictom, and this is meant to create a reminder to him that he won't come to increase the flame on Shabbos. What's the difference between ligrof and liktom? Ligrof means to sweep the coals out of the oven, and liktom means to sprinkle on top of the coals ashes. Okay, then that's point number one. So this is an introduction to what's called shehiyah. And if you're writing, you know, on if I was writing an outline, the first Roman numeral would be shehiyah. Again, as soon as you hear the word shehiyah, what time period do you have in mind?
Erev Shabbos.
Very good. Then we get to Roman numeral number 2.
Rabbi, can I just ask a clarifying question about
sure.
What do the rabbis mean by cooking? Do they mean like more than the 50%?
So that's all going to come up as we go along. Okay, then David. So that's a big issue, and there are many issues. But Beis number 2. This is called chazara. What does chazara mean? As opposed to shehiyah, which is in Erev Shabbos, we're talking about chazara on Shabbos. So let's say, for example, if I have a pot that's cooking on Shabbos and I take it off the fire, am I allowed to replace it back onto the fire? So the answer is that under certain conditions, the Rabbanan prohibited this, and again, because of gzeira. Now, you might ask, well, if you're putting it back on the fire on Shabbos, that's not Bishul Durabbanan. I don't need Chachamim to introduce the Gzeira. That might be Bishul Doraisa. So the answer is, Be'ofanim, in certain situations, She'ein bo mishum iser Bishul. That even if I grant you that he places the pot back on the fire on Shabbos, he still didn't violate the iser Bishul. And again, we're going to see at what point. That's going to be one of the major issues in our study over the course of time here. At what point does the halacha recognize something as if it's already cooked? Does it have to be a third cooked, a half cooked, a fully cooked? What if it's fully cooked but it gets even better and better with time? You know, there's so many different levels. We want to know at what point can we clamp down and say, oh, it's already cooked. And once it's cooked, I can put it back on the fire because I'm not cooking it. And yet, even though, go ahead, Avi, what are you saying?
For re-cooking it.
Right. And you reached a level where re-cooking it would not be a violation of Bishul Doraisa, and yet the Rabbanan don't want you to re-cook it. And why is that? Again, he says because we're afraid that in his eager to re-cook it and reheat it and so forth and so on, he might be tempted to poke the flames. And then he gets to number Gimel. And this is the issue of Hananya and Chachamim. So rule number three is going to be a machlokes between Hananya and Chachamim. Our Mishnah reflects one of those two shittos. We're not sure exactly which. The Gemara vacillates about that point. And what is the nature of the machlok? So in Roman numeral number one, we postulated that there's an Isur Shehiya until he does Grifa and Ketima, until he takes the oven and empties it of its coals. That's not necessarily so. That is definitely so according to the Chachamim, but not necessarily so according to Hananya. Hananya, on the other hand, allows Shehiya, and he limits the Gzera of Shehiya, the prohibition of Shehiya, to the following very thin slice. And that is when the food started cooking on Erev Shabbos, but it hasn't yet reached the lowest level of cooking. The lowest level of cooking is called Kemaychel Ben Drosoy. And what does that mean, Kemaychel Ben Drosoy? So you'll underline here, because this is for the future, a machlokus between Rashi and the Rambam. According to Rashi, which is back on Daf Chaf, Maychel Ben Drosoy is 1/3 of the cooking. Again, you have to know what's fully cooked, but if you know what's fully cooked, we'll call it 100, then 33 1/3, that's what's called Kemaychel Ben Drosoy. So the food started cooking, it's not yet reached 1/3 of its cooking, that you're not allowed to leave on the fire, even according to Hananya. So what we're saying now is that although Hananya doesn't go as far as the Chachamim regarding the extent and the scope of the Isur Shehiyah, he does embrace, he does accept the Isur Shehiyah. He has a very limited version of Shehiyah. The Isur Shehiyah that the Chachamim prohibited only applies, according to Hananya, when the Erev Shabbos situation was exactly Bashil velo Bashil, meaning it started cooking, but it didn't cook yet. It didn't even cook 1/3 of its cooking. Now, if it reached Kemaychel Ben Drosoy, which means, according to Rashi, 1/3 of its cooking, he points out that according to the Rambam in Perek Tes Milcha Shabbos, that means half of its cooking, Chatzi Bishulo, then having reached that point, now we have a machlokas between Hananya and Chachamim. Hananya maintains that at this point, since it's already cooked a serious amount of cooking, right? Qualitatively, it's well on the way to cooking. You could eat it if you were a bandit on the road, on the run. Therefore, he's not going to be so concerned about speeding up the process. It may be a slow process, but it's going to take a short amount of time relatively until it actually gets cooked. He doesn't have to meddle with it. He doesn't have to intervene. He's not going to be tempted to want to poke the flame. That's the shita of Hananya. And then he writes, what do we do with the Mishnah if we want to reconcile the Mishnah with Hananya? The Mishnah actually requires a Goruf and a Katuv. And the Mishnah says, Lo yite nachi yigrov, etc. So the answer is that if you want to reconcile the Mishnah with Hananya, then you'll say that the words Lo yite mean Lo yachzir. Because again, in Roman numeral number 2, the previous paragraph, when we spoke about Chazara, there was no machlokas about Chazara. Even Hananya accepted the Iser Chazara on Shabbos. And therefore, if our Mishnah is to be reconciled with Hananya, then Lo Yite means Lo Yachzir. According to Chachamim, on the other hand, we have a lot more of a leeway here. We can say that Lo Yite in the Mishnah means Lo Yisheh, which means he's not allowed to put it there on Erev Shabbos, because the Chachamim maintain that if you have an open flame that's not a goruf and not a katum, you're not allowed to leave a pot on the fire, on this open fire on Erev Shabbos, even though it has already passed the stage of kemayachol ben josoi, even though technically it's already cooked, because the chachamim are worried about the tosefes bishul, which means that it keeps cooking, and it's better, you know, the cholent will be improved, and therefore you'd be tempted to speed up the process and poke the flame. So the chachamim have a gzera that extends the isa shehiya even after kemaychol ben josoi, and the only solution to that isa shehiya is to convert the fire into a goruf and a kotum. According to Chananya, on the other hand, if it's already reached kemaychol ben josoi, then you're allowed to leave it on Erev Shabbos on an open flame. But even Chananya will agree that you're not allowed to put things on the fire on Shabbos, which is called Chazara, on an open flame. So everybody, both Chananya and Chachamim, require a grufa and a ketuma in certain scenarios and vis-a-vis certain allowances and permissions. You can only permit the situation of a pot on the fire if you have a fire that's goruf v'kotum. The stove, the kira, has been emptied of its coals. The machlokas is going to be under what scenarios do you require grufa and ketuma. According to the Chachamim, you require a grufa ketuma in order to allow you to place the fire on place the pot on the fire on Erev Shabbos, even though the tavshil has reached kemaychol ben josoi. There still is a gzera of shemi yechate begecholim. According to the Chananya, once the food has reached kemaychol ben josoi on Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to leave it on an open flame. But everybody agrees that if the food had begun to cook and has not yet cooked kemaychol ben josoi, then you're not allowed to leave such a pot on the flame on Erev Shabbos without making it into a goruf v'kotum. And everybody agrees, even Chananya, that on Shabbos itself, you're not allowed to put a pot onto the fire unless it's a goruf v'kotum. That's chazorah. So there's no machlokes about chazorah. Everybody, even Chananya, requires chazorah for chazorah to be matir chazorah. We need a goruf v'kotum. The question is shehiya. Whereas Chananya only requires a goruf v'kotum to be matir shehiya in a case where it's bashil v'lo bashil, which means the process of bishul has begun but it hasn't yet culminated in kemaychol ben josoi. In that specific, very narrow slot, you know, a slice, that's where Chananya says we need a goruf v'kotum to allow shehiya. The Chachamim require shehiya, in order to be matir shehiya, require a goruf v'kotum, even though the food has reached kemaychol ben josoi, but in his mind, kemaychol ben josoi is not satisfactory. He's not going to serve his guests a food that's only one third cooked. Again, in our day, you have things like sushi, so I don't know, maybe the halacha should change in our day, I don't know. But there's no such thing as meat sushi, let's assume, for argument's sake, even though I know there is such a thing. And therefore, he's going to want to, in a very anxious way, speed up the process of bishul, and therefore he might be tempted to tamper with the coals, even though the food, as we said, reached already the state of kemaychol ben josoi. That's a very early state. There's still a long way to go until it's fully cooked. And therefore the Chachamim say that even for shehiya, we require a goruf v'kotum. So our Mishnah Lo Yitein says that you need a goruf v'kotum. We're two ways of learning our Mishnah. We can learn our Mishnah one way according to the Chachamim, and we're talking about Shehiyah on Erev Shabbos, and you need a goruf v'kotum on Erev Shabbos. And that's pretty much all inclusive. You always require a goruf v'kotum according to the Chachamim of Chananya on for Shehiyah on Erev Shabbos. Or you can interpret the Mishnah according to Chananya. And then lo yitein means lo yachzir, and we're talking about chazor on Shabbos, and even Chananya, as we emphasize, requires a goruf v'kotum to allow chazor on Shabbos. That's this page that I gave you today. And the reason why I made the effort, I cut it out, I blew it up, I did whatever I could. It's very small in the original print. was because I think this is something you should add to your files. It's a you know, if you ever get a chance to teach the third parak, which I'm sure you'll all get a chance to do that, this would be a very good way of starting the third parak. It's a very nice overview, very nice summary.
But can I ask, there's two extreme questions. One you raised then, Rabbi, is like, if you've got raw food, could you put like less than one third, could you put that on a closed file, on a platter? And the opposite, can you put 100% food, cooked food, on an open file?
Oh, so wait a second. So that question, the second question, is going to be the subject of today's discussion.
Okay.
But as far as the first question is concerned, let's say you have something that is partially cooked. All you need is to make it into a grufa and a ketuma. Once you have a grufa and a ketuma, then you're allowed to do both shehiyah and chazara with regard to this tavshil. And that will take you from the beginning stages of bishul until the end stages of bishul. Now, David is asking a second question about beyond the end stage of bishul. That we're going to get to today. Now, what if it's pure raw food?
Right.
Now, if it's raw food and the cooking process hasn't begun, that's going to be a sugi that we'll get to, not today, but down the line. That's called chai.
Right.
Chet yud means raw. In such a case, we will allow shehiyah even on an enogarif vieno cut. Okay, then? And the reason for that is, we'll see later on, that if it's raw, then he's not going to even have it in his mind. That's called hesek hadas. He's going to put it totally out of his mind because he realizes it's got to cook overnight. You know, he goes to sleep at midnight, he wakes up at 8 a.m. to come to our Berzon Shabbos here in the LC, right? So for 8 hours, it's going to be cooking and cooking and cooking, like our cholent. By the time he wakes up in the morning, it's fully cooked. He's not tempted to play with the thing. And since it was raw on Erev Shabbos when he put it on, but again, this is all futuristic. I would like you to just make a note in your recordings here that we're going to talk about chai. Everything that we've been discussing today goes from bushel to low bushel, which means the lowest beginning stage of bishul, all the way up to what's called bishul kol tzark. And then we're going to discuss what happens beyond bishul kol tzark. That's the subject of our discussion today. So just by show of hands, how many people are following me until now? I mean, if I would test you on this, you know, what grade would you get? You know, that's the question. Okay.
I understand, conceptually I understand it, you know, but if you ask me each position, I couldn't agree.
What we really should do now, just that I don't have the patience for this, is to make a chart. If anybody wants to, I will dictate to you the chart, if you don't mind writing this down. You know, what I need is
grid.
Not a grid, but just even a piece of paper, but turn it on the side, if you know what I mean. And what I would do is the following. I would talk about shehiyah and chazara. That's on top, the two columns. And then on the side, I would talk about chananya and rabban. Okay then? So it works like this. As far as shehiyah for Chananya is concerned, which would be your first box on the top left, if I see this, you know, visually in my mind, Chananya would say that again, you could write this in any language you want, but once it reaches Kemaychel Ben Josai, is mutter, okay. And that means mutter on an open flame, even without gara for katam. We're going to have to make a separate chart. That'll be chart number two for a gara for katam. But that's an easy chart. That's the easy one. We're talking now about an eno gara for eno katam. Okay? Now you're looking at the rabbanon, which would be the box right below it on the right side. And the rabbanon say, awesome. Even though it reached Kemaychel Ben Josai. And therefore they're going to require a gara for katum, which we'll see in the second chart that we'll make. And then we move on to the left column. And the left column is chazar. And here you can write asur and asur, meaning both chananya and chachamim, and the rabbanon will say asur.
On an open flame.
So again, so chart number one is Einol Goruf, the Einol Kotem. That's the koteret. That's the heading for chart number one. Then we go down the page and we make a second chart, which is much easier to fill in. And that's a Goruf for Kotem. And in this case, everything is mutter. All the boxes are mutter. So Goruf for Kotem will allow straight across the board both Shehiyah and Chazorah, both according to the Shita of Chananya and according to the Ramban.
You got the Shammai Hillel machlokes about.
Okay, we'll get to Shammai Hillel. Okay, so let's again go back to the heading, and this is all according to Beis Hillel. Okay, and everything that we're saying is according to Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai can introduce a distinction between liquids and solids. Okay. So I don't know if that's helpful, but that's more or less what we saw here. The only major addition that he adds here that we don't have, two additions, is number one, what's called Kemaychel Ben Josoi, and that's Machlokas Rashi, who says Shlish, and the Rambam says Chatzi. And number two, the Shema Yechata B'Gecholim, which is something that you have to memorize over and over again. Shema Yechata B'Gecholim. Now, the Tosvis, Dibra Maschil Chamin Vitavshir, which should be, I think, the third Tosvis in the chapter, am I right? So the assumption of this Tosvis, the background to this Tosvis, is what we, just to reiterate what we've said already, is that according to Beis Hillel, you're allowed to do Chazara on Akira, that's Gora for Khatum, and that's straight across the board. No difference between Chamin and Tavshil. And that's what it means in the Mishnah. It says Chamin and Vitavshil, that's Beis Hillel. And Tosa says the following. Again, this is all a Goruf for Kotum. Please, you know, don't lose track. Because if it's not a Goruf for Kotum, everyone agrees it's awesome. Everything is awesome. But if it's a Goruf for Kotum, then it's Mutter. And it's Mutter, according to Beis Hillel, both the Chamin and Vitavshil. Everything is mutter.
And Shammai's tavshil that he asks is at least a third court.
Say it one more time. I'm sorry, David.
The tavshil that Shammai asks the Chazorah on the closed flame is at least a third court.
I would assume so. But my head now is not wrapped around Shammai because I want to get through this Tosfos. Now, Nira Lari. Today's one of the Bali Atosis, of course. The Stam Chamin Vitavshil. When you see the words Chamin Vitavshil, Stam, meaning unqualified, Hainu Afilu Lo Boshil called Sarka. Ela Kemaychel Ben Josoi.
Okay, that's my question.
In other words,
which Tosis better
win? We're doing the third Tosis in the chapter, that's Chamin Vitavshil. Okay? 1, 2, 3. So Tosis wants to say the following. That in the case of a grufa and a ktuma, the food has only been cooked partially. Again, if, let's go like this, if the food was totally cooked, that's a halba chiddush, that's not such a big chiddush. I mean, obviously if it's totally cooked, why would he be tempted to poke the flames? And even if he did chas v'shalom poke the flames, he doesn't violate an isur bishul. Tosa says, but no, there's a bigger chiddush here. And what's the bigger chiddush? That he's allowed to do chazara, even though there's a good way, a long distance, until he finally gets a fully cooked food. Now, if he's got a long distance, let's say according to Rashi Shita, Kemaychel Ben Josoi means shlish bishulo, so it's only one third cooked. You know, it may take hours until it's completely cooked. So, what would he be tempted to do? To poke the flames. But the answer is, why isn't he going to poke the flames?
covered.
Because there are no flames. Let's say in the case of a katum, I'm sorry, in the case of a grufa, Dan is always bringing up the case of a ketubah. Life is a little bit easier for us if we focus on a grufa. Grufa means he swept all the coals out of the oven. So Tosfos is saying, if the logic of grufa and the power inherent in grufa is to remove the chashash shem yechate, then that's going to apply to chazara on Shabbos as well. The whole reason why I was not allowed to put it on the flame on Shabbos is because I might come to poke the flames, correct? So even if it was cooked, I might still come to poke the flames. But now, let's say it was cooked Kimaichel Ben Josiah, I might want to speed up the process. But now I took the coals out of the, I removed the coals from what? From the floor of the oven, and therefore there's no chashash of Shem Yechata. And how does Tosfos know this? I mean, there's still a great deal of bishul to be accomplished here with regard to this tavshil. It's only at a very it's in a diaper stage. All you're at is, you know, kemaychel ben josoy shlish bishulo. But the answer is that stam chamin v'tavshin tavshil. Whenever you see the words chamin and tavshil unqualified, means that it is already cooked, which means halachically, we validate the cooking process once it reaches shlish bishula. And Tosfos now goes ahead and he proves it. He says, "Daha kimuki masnisin belahachzir tnan." If you recall, the Gemara is going to offer one possibility to reconcile the Mishnah with Chananya and say that the loyite, the subject of the prohibition in the Mishnah, is Chazara on Shabbos, because again, according to Chananya, Shehiyah is Mutter if it was Erev Shabbos. So it means that the Mishnah is telling you, don't put it on the fire on Shabbos, which we call Chazara, after you took it off the flames on Shabbos. And in that case, we need a Grufa and a Ketuma. Okay, and now we're saying that if lahachzir tnan, and the Mishnah is only prohibiting lahachzir, havi masnisa kechananya, then the Mishnah reflects the sheet of Chananya dishari, that he's matir shehiyah bechamin v'tavshin lahashos, that's on Erev Shabbos, al gavi kira, even though it's an open flame, afilu kishe'ena grufa, vafilu lo boshil kol tzarka. Because again, the only case in which Chananya agrees that Shehiyah is prohibited is if it's Boshil v'yeno Boshil, which means it's less than Kemaychel ben Josoy. Once it's Kemaychel ben Josoy, it is Mutter. And on that case, the Mishnah says Lo Yite, meaning if it's an Eino Garf, Eino Katum, although we're going to allow you to place the pot on the food on Erev Shabbos, we're not going to allow you to place the pot on the food on Shabbos itself. V'lo Kirabanan, against the Rabbanan, who are of the opinion that despite the fact that it reached the level of Kemaychel ben Josoy, we still prohibit Shehiyah and we require a Grufa and Ketumah. So you see that the entire discussion here in our Mishnah and the debate between Chananya and Chachamim revolves around the case of Kemaychel, where the Tavshil reached the level of Kemaychel ben Josoy on Erev Shabbos. And in that very same circumstance, that very scenario, the Mishnah establishes, according to everyone, even according to Chananya, lo yitein, meaning lo yachzir, that on Shabbos you're not allowed to put it onto this kira. And the reason for it is because it's an eno garf yeno katum. But if it would have been a garf a katum, it would have been mutter, even though the food has only reached the level of kemaychel ben Josoy. And now, if you're going to argue against this, now Tosfos is going to sort of, he's speaking to, I guess, a phantom adversary, and he's saying that if you're going to tell me that the Mishnah allows Chazara on a Garif HaKotum because it was Mavushal called Tzarko, it was completely cooked, then why would this Mishnah, if you hold Lo Yitein Lo Yachzir, reflect the sheet of Chananya against the Rabbanon? Is Dilma Masnisin Asya Filu Ki Rabbanon? The Mishnah could even be according to the Rabbanon. And what would it be? Umas nisin bechamin v'tavshel shenisbashel kol tzorcho demodim demodu Rabbanon demashim al gabi kiro she'eno grufa v'eno k'tuma. Okay. So now we get to David's question from before. What's the story with regard to a tavshil that's already completely cooked? Until now we've been discussing from the beginning of the cooking process until the end of the cooking process. What happens if we've already gotten to the end of the cooking process? Says Tosus, at that point, even Chachamim would agree that Shehiyah is mutter and an Eino Garfi Eino Katan. And therefore, if our Mishnah in Lo Yitein Lo Yachzir would be addressing the case of Nisbashel called Sarkon, then the Mishnah would indeed reflect the Shita of the Chachamim. And the Mishnah limits its prohibition to Chazorah on Shabbos, because in this very scenario that you are prohibiting Chazorah on Shabbos, Shehiyah would be Mutter. So again, it turns out like this, that according to Tosfos, if you have a Tavshil Shenisbashel called Sarko, then Shehiyah would be Mutter, and Chazor would be also. Again, it ain't no Gorof, the ain't no Kot. So let's see, we have our first chart. You remember our first chart? So our first chart was ain't no Gorof, the ain't no Kot. Am I correct? So what we were discussing in an Eino Garf, the Eino Katum, which is a machlokas between Chananya and Chachom as far as Shehiyah is concerned, and universal consent as far as Chazar is concerned, that's also, all that is only up to but not beyond Nisbashel Kol Tzarko. Once it's beyond Nisbashel Kol Tzarko, says Tosfos, then even though it's an Eino Garf Yeno Katum, everybody agrees that Shehiyah is Mutter. So I'm just wondering how we can expand and embellish that first chart. If you can add possibly a third, I don't know how you do this, but we need the expert chart makers here. You know, it's a whole science of how to, a whole discipline how to make charts.
What's it called? Add to what?
Yeah, no, what I'm just saying, if you could add another category called Nisbashel Kol Tzarko.
Can you spell it?
Nisbashel Kol Tzarko. Okay.
It's 100%.
It's 100%, right? This is 100% cooked. That's called this fashion called Sarko. Is then Shehiyah is Mutter. Technically, it should be Muteris. It's a feminine word. Okay, Shehiyah is Mutter. Afilu the Eino Garuf. Vafilu Lechachomim Dechananya. Okay? So if you can add that to your chart somehow. Your first chart, and this is all based on Tosfos. Okay, so that's what we have so far. So, in other words, when our Mishnah prohibits Shehiyah, we're talking about lo nisbashel kol tzarko. So it's less than 100%. Now, how much less than 100% is it? Well, if it's 99%, then the Chachamim will prohibit it. Again, we're talking about an Eino Garfi, Eino Katum. And Chananya will only prohibit it when it reaches 33%, as opposed to 33 1/3%, if you're following me. Once it's a drop below 1/3, then Chananya agrees that Shehiyah is also on an Eino Garfi, Eino Katum. That was our first chart, you know, the first part of the chart. So, With regard to Shehiyah, Tosfos has now enlightened us about something that we were in the dark about. We said that there's a machlokes Chananya and Chachamim regarding Shehiyah on an Eino Garf Eino Katum in the case of Higiel Michael Ben Josoi on Erev Shabbos and anywhere above that, but until where? And that's where Tosfos is enlightening, because up until Nisbashel Kol Tzarko. Once it passes Nisbashel Kol Tzarko, says Tosfos, then everybody agrees that it's Mutter. Many Rishonim are going to disagree with Tosfos, because many Rishonim hold that even beyond 100%, we'll call it 101%, there's something called Mitztamek
Varala.
No, Mitztamek V'yofala. In other words, the gourmet cooks will tell you that even though it's beyond 100%, again, you have to know when, for that you have to go to chef school, it still is yuffalo, it still is beneficial.
Crunchy.
But this is a different sheet, though, with Rishonim, other Rishonim, right? We'll call them other Rishonim until we identify who they are. But now we're learning Tosa's Shita. Tosa's Shita is that once it hits bingo, you know, when the red ball hits the bell on top, that's called 100%, that's this fashion called Sarko, then Shehiyah is muttered and Eino Garf Eino Katuv, even according to the Rabban. Done.
Yeah, just to go back, if it's Chananya allows the Shehiyah,
right,
up to the one-third or one-half,
no, from the one third and on.
Only when it reaches from
correct.
That part.
Now, again, we're going to have the case of a raw food. That's something different. Then everybody agrees it's mutter. But once it started cooking, okay, and that's called that, okay, so again, the terminology is important here. There's something called bashil velo bashil. Okay, that's more in the first parak of Shabbos. In the second parak of Shabbos. Bashil velo bashil, that means it began to cook, right? It began cooking, but did not reach what? But less than, if you will, right? What is that, like this? Less than Kimaifel Ben Josoy. That's the abbreviation. Chof Mem Aleph Beis Da. So it's less than Kimaifel Ben Josoy.
So that, to clarify, that would be just below where it's edible?
Right, so edible, let's say we're assuming now like Rashi's sheet is one third, less than a third, even a mashu, a little bit less than a third, even Chananya will agree that Shehiyah is prohibited. Everybody agrees that to allow food in a pot, on an open fire, on Erev Shabbos, you must have food that's cooked. What does it mean it's cooked? It means, at the very minimum, it's got to be cooked a halachic bishul. A legal bishul. And when does the halacha validate that bishul? That's called kemaichel ben josoy. Okay, we'll call it one third of its cooking. Less than that, shehiyah is asur, according to everybody. Now, once it reached kemaichel ben josoy in Erev Shabbos, so let's say Shabbos enters at 4, we're about to change the clock, right? So at 3 o'clock, I put my pot on the fire, and it has already cooked by 4. Now, what does that mean it's already cooked? Halachic, valid cooking, which means Kemaifel Ben Josoy. Here's where we have machlokas between Chananya and Chacham. Chananya says, leave it on the open fire. It's already cooked. And Chacham say, no. It might be cooked halachically, but in the reality of it, in terms of your eagerness to serve your guests a fully cooked meal, it's not cooked. Kamzal and Tosis would say, okay, so you need a gar for katum according to Chacham. But Chachamim will agree that once you reach the level of bishul called tzarko, Erev Shabbos, so you put it on the fire not at 3 o'clock but at 2 o'clock, and 2 hours later it's already fully cooked, and at that point even the Chachamim will agree that you're allowed to leave it on an open fire. Okay, that's what we have so far in Tosfos.
Right.
And, you know, in a certain sense, I would have put this as number 4 if I would have authored this introduction. But he's avoiding very sticky issues, because this Tosfos is very iffy, meaning it doesn't necessarily stand on solid ground. You know, everything he said here, these three Roman numeral numbers, 1, 3, 1, 2, and 3, that's upgrade. That's absolutely universally accepted. This point in Tosfos is still a little bit debatable, because as I said, the halacha recognizes the reality of something that's even beyond 100% that might be beneficial for him.
When we have a concept of Mistamek Varalo, that already went in the category Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. But here, Mistamek V'yafelo, for him, it's not cooked yet. It's going to continue. It should be asur.
Right. So you're presenting the sheet of other rishonim, but you know, right now Tosfos is saying that he may want more and more cooking if he's, you know, if he's so inclined, but he's not going to be tempted to, you know, to forget about Shabbos, start poking the flames in order to make it more and more cooking. That far, Tosfos says we don't have to go. Again, I'm just giving you to, in course terms, you know, ultimately we're going to have to refine this and, you know, conceptualize it in a more abstract way. But right now, you know, tachlis. So again, let me, Shmuel, I'll be right with you. So I just want to mention the point again. So the Mishnah requires a grufa and a ketuma, correct? That's the yisodas of that Mishnah, in order to allow chazara on Shabbos. And that halacha applies, that requirement of grufa kuma applies when it's less than kol tzark. Go ahead.
Kind of like what Ben was saying, it makes me think that there's a connection between Iser Bishul and the Gzeirot Derabanan. Before I thought maybe all the Gzeirot about Chazara and Shehiya could just be in situations where you want to protect you from accidentally going on to do an Iser Deraita. And when we say things like if it's already Bishul, it's already kemachav and yosef, so maybe you're not getting any hana'a, but there's no malacha being done from your perspective. You know what I'm saying?
So that's a very fundamental question. I think I may have hinted to you before that we're going to have to take that up as a separate issue. Okay. What happens if you have food that was cooked kemaychel ben yosef, you take it off the fire, and then you put it on the fire a second time around? Have you violated bishul d'oraisa? So that's going to be a Magid Mishnah. The Magid Mishnah, and we're going to spend a lot of time on this, is Medayik in the Rambam, that in such a case you'd be chayef for Bishul Dorais. But again, that's the Magid Mishnah's Chiddush in the Rambam. The Poshep Shat is Ein Bishul Acher Bishul. If the Halacha validates that state of Bishul called Kemaychel Ben Josoi, is Ein Bishul Acher Bishul. Before the Magid Mishnah lived about 7 centuries ago. Before the Magid Mishnah came to the surface, the assumption was Ein Bishul Acher Bishul. But again, I'm oversimplifying a very complicated issue that has to be taken as a separate topic. So anyway, here's the final maskot of Tosis, the bottom line. Elavadai, therefore I conclude, to mishum distam chamin v'tav shel kemalchu ben josoi nami mashma, that the words chamin and tav shel, unless they are qualified, they mean stoma, they mean kemalchu ben josoi. And therefore, if our Mishnah is being matir chazorah on Shabbos on a gruf and a ketumah, it means that you're allowed to put it on a grufa ketuma, even though it's not fully cooked, even though it's only reached the level of kemaychel ben josoi. So now we have the following equation, Rabosai. What Hananya says about shehiya, what Hananya says about Shehiya, even if it's not Kemaychel ben Josoi, what Hananya says about Shehiya, if it has reached Kemaychel ben Josoi, Chachomim will say in the case of Chazor. So we have an absolute equation between Kemaychel ben Josoi of Hananya and Kemaychel ben Josoi l'chachom, meaning Hananya is willing to use Kemaychel ben Josoi as a matir for what? Shehiya. The Chachom are willing to use Kemaychel ben Josoi as a matir for what?
Chazor
as well.
But not onto a flame that was open at the beginning of Shabbat, only to a roof of flame.
No, I'm talking about an Eino Garf, Eino Kotum. Again, Hananya said that once you reach Kemaychel ben Josoi, you're allowed to leave the pot on an open fire on Erev Shabbos.
Yes.
So you started the cooking at 3 p.m., and Hananya says, let it go. You know, let it cook. It only reached at 4 p.m. in Knesset HaShabbat. It only reached the level of what? Of Kemaychel Ben Josai. That concept of Kemaychel Ben Josai will be meaningful for the Chachamim in the case of Chazara in a group of a ketubah. I didn't know what you... I'm sorry. I thought you were referring to Shahir. So again, let me say it again. I just want to make sure we have this. What Hananya says in the case of an Einogarif Vikotum regarding Kemaychel Ben Josai, the Chachamim will say with regard to Chazara in a Garif Vikotum. Let me just... I just want to make sure. Just give me 1 minute. I just want to make sure I'm not... Yeah, so we can create this chart. The name of the chart is Kemaychel Ben Josai, meaning Koach, we'll call it Koach HaHeter Shel Kemaychel Ben Josai. What is the power that will give us permission to have something cooking on Shabbos because it reached Kemaychel Ben Josai? Okay, here's the chart. So we have now Hananya and we have Chacham. According to Hananya, Kemaychel Ben Josai has the power to be Matir Shehiya on Erev Shabbos in an Eino Garif Eino Kota. According to the Chachamim of Hananya, Kemaychel Ben Josai has the Koach to be Matir Chazara in a Garif Kota. So Chazara in a Garif Kotum in the Chachamim's frame of reference equals Shehiya in an Eino Garif Kotum in Hananya's frame of reference. Is that clear? I'm sorry, it took me a little time to...
Rabbanan would also allow one third cooked on a Shehiya on a Garif Kotum as well.
Yeah, that's for sure. The Chiddush is that even on Shabbos itself, you're allowed to place your pot on a Garif Kotum even though it's only reached the stage of Kemaychel Ben Josai. So, you know, we've been, in a sense, our agenda was to give Kemaychel Ben Josai a lot of, you know, high profile power with regard to Hanan. Now we're seeing that Kemaychel Ben Josai has a lot of power according to the Chachamim of Hanan. Again, but we're shifting. We are shifting from Hananya's Shehiya in an Eino Garif Eino Kotum to the Rabbanan's Chazara in a Garif Kotum. And in both cases, we have this power that I call Kemaychel Ben Josai. Now again, the Chachom are not willing to allow Shehiya, even though it's Kemaychel Ben Josai in an Eino Garif Eino Kotum, for a simple reason. Because the coals are there. He's very eager to continue cooking it. It's 4 p.m. He's, you know, his wife is lighting Shabbos candles, and the food has reached one third of its. So the Chacham are not, you know, are not eager to allow this to go on. And we discussed that already at great length. That's where the Chachamim will say that, with all due respect to Kemaychel Ben Josai, that's not going to cut the mustard. It's an Eino Garif Eino Kotum, and certainly in Chazara, that's upgrade. That goes without saying. Where will the Chachamim embrace the Kemaychel Ben Josai? That's when you're talking about a Garif Kotum, and the Chiddush is that even in Chazara on Shabbos itself, Kemaychel Ben Josai, together with Garif Kotum, A plus B, is going to permit putting the pot on the, you know, in the stove on Shabbos, because A, the food has already reached Kemaychel Ben Josai, and B, there are no coals inside the oven. And again, and here's where Don is going to stand up and say, well, what about Kotum? Kotum means there are coals inside, but he places the ashes, and that's going to serve as a reminder. Okay. Now, if you remember, on the page that I gave you, the first page that I gave you, and this is the third paragraph on page 1, I mentioned this Tosfos of Chamin V'Tavshil, but I asked you to focus on a line that starts with Tzarech Lomar. You may have already seen this. So what we're doing now is we're sort of bracketing a few lines in Tosfos that we'll have to come back to, but at this point I think those lines will just confuse us, because they require a scholarly knowledge of a sugya later on at Daf Lamed Ches, which is not that far down the line, but for us it's going to take a while till we get there. Now he says the following.
Is that where we are now?
We're up to the words Tzarech Lomar. Can you find those words? Okay. Now, you may recall, and this we did at the beginning of the week, that Beit Shammai distinguished between liquids and solids. And therefore, Beit Shammai prohibit chazara with regard to a tavshil, and they're only willing to accept a heter of chazara with regard to chamin, which means liquids. In liquids, once it reaches the boiling point, let's say, he's no longer tempted to want to add something to the flame. So Beit Shammai are willing to allow this on Shabbos in the case of chamin, but not in the case of tavshil. Says Tosus, Tzorech Lomar, Dehodi Asri Beit Shammai, Lahachzir, Hainu Afilu Chamin Shehuchmu Kol Tzorkon. So now, let's just remind ourselves that the Mishnah records a double machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. The Mishnah, on the one hand, says, Beit Shammai omrim chamin avolotav shil. Now, let's assume that this part of the Mishnah is referring to Shehiya on Erev Shabbos. And Beit Shammai say the following, that the Mishnah establishes a heter, Shehiya, in the case of a Garuf HaKotav. And on that, Beit Shammai say, Chamin, you're allowed to leave your water, your hot water on the fire on Erev Shabbos if it's a Garuf HaKotav. Avolo Tavshil. So in other words, Beit Shammai reject the heter of Garuf HaKotav regarding a Tavshil. So it's Erev Shabbos and I have a pot of solid food and I've removed the coals from the stove as I enter into Shabbos, and nevertheless Beit Shammai prohibit it. So what's the case? How far did Beit Shammai go in prohibiting Shehiya on a Garuf HaKotav with regard to a Tavshil? After all, he did what he has to do. He cooked it and he heated it up and he removed the coals, and yet he's not allowed to keep it on this Garuf HaKotav. What stage is the food at? And Tosus says, Afilu Chamin Shehuchmu Kol Tzarkon. Now, let's again, I skipped a little bit, I'm sorry. Then we have a second machlokas between Beis Hillel Beit Shammai, and that's at the end of the Mishnah, and that's with regard to Chazara. And here, Beit Shammai say, there's an absolute Iser Chazara, even in a case of a Garuf HaKotav. and even with regard to Chamin. So again, Beit Shammai are willing to accept the heter of Gar for Khatum with regard to Shehiya of Chamin, but not with regard to Chazora, even in the case of Chamin. There's an absolute all-inclusive prohibition of Shehiya, excuse me, of Chazora, according to Beit Shammai. Now, what's going on over here? It's a Gar for Khatum. And Tosus says, "Hainu afilu chamin shehuchmu kol sarka." This is unbelievable, Rabosai. Look at the chumrah of Beit Shammai.
He sounded like a Saduki, no?
Why does he say anything that's Mexican?
What's going on over here? Let's just make the calculations. We're talking about a kira that's a grufa and a ketuma. We're talking about chamin that are fully cooked, they're hot, and I'm not allowed to put it on a stove that's a gar for kotel, even though it's fully cooked. That's what it says here in Tosfos. Am I right? Now again, you might say, okay, Rabbi, you got a problem here, but that problem is not so, you know, it's not so anguish-invoking, you know, causing, because we don't paskin like Beit Shammai. But take a look at the next line. Then Tosus says, V'chein le'Beis Hillel, that's the one we paskin like, because Beis Hillel again agree that there is an Isur Chazara in the case of what? Of an Eino Garuf. And that applies even though it's nispashal kol tzarka. So in other words, whereas Beit Shammai are complete, with regard to Chazara, are completely oblivious to the Garf HaKatum, Beis Hillel would say exactly what Beit Shammai say, in a case of Chazor v'eino Gar v'eino Kotum. If I can establish that Beit Shammai were machmir, even in a Gar for Kotum with regard to Chazorah, even though it was nispashal called Sarko, then I can establish, therefore, that Beis Hillel, who agreed to the Yisr Chazorah, in the case of an eino Gar v'eino Kotum, will agree even though it was nispashal called Sarko. So this Rabosai represents a reversal of what we saw until now. Because until now we were saying that if it's the special called Sarko, then even if it's an Eino Garuf Eino Katum, then it's Mutter. Correct? The whole Machlok Shin Chananya and Chachomim went up to, but not beyond, the special called Sarko. Now we're saying that it's a good, right? And that's all in the case of an Eino Garuf Eino Katum. Right? Eino Garuf Eino Katum. Now we're saying in an Eino Garuf Eino Katum that it's Asur even if it was the special called Sarka. Did Tosus just reverse themselves? That's very odd. That without, you know, letting a clue, you know, dropping a clue, Tosus completely changed their mind. Until now, Tosus presented the opinion that all the issues that we have are up to but not beyond this special called Sarko. Now Tosfos is saying, no, we got a problem even this special called Sarko. If you want to say according to Beit Shammai, okay, Beit Shammai, oh, that's stupid, you want to say, Chas V'Shol. You know what I'm saying? Beit Shammai, oh, that's a different sheet. But we're talking about Beis Hillel. And Tosfos is saying that in Beis Hillel, even though it's this special called Sarko, it's also because it's an Eino Garuf Eino Katum. What's the answer of Osai? There's no steering. Why? Because until now, Tosfos was discussing what? Shehiya. Now Tosfos is talking about Chazor. So Rabbi Osai, watch what goes on over here. This is the punchline of today's shiur. And it's something that's going to occupy our minds for a good long time to try to, you know, unravel this mystery. Tosfos is saying that, again, I'm starting with the premise that both Shehiya and Chazor are, you know, Shema Yachta the Gecholim issues, right? They're all basically coming down to the same issue of maybe he's going to tamper with the coals and he's going to speed up the process of Bishul. Tosus now postulates a fundamental distinction between Shehiya and Chazara. With regard to Shehiya, Tosfos says the whole issue of an Einu Garf, Einu Katuv exists up to but not beyond this Bashal called Sarka. With regard to Chazara, Tosfos says, even Beis Hillel would agree that there's an Isur Chazara on Shabbos, even though it was this Bashal called Sarka. And that's a Pella, because what we presented here is that we're not afraid of Shem Yechatek B'Gecholim, it's already in this Bashal called Sarka. And now we say that with regard to Chazara on Shabbos, if it's not a Garf and not a Katuv, then even though it is already fully cooked, I still can't put it back on the fire. Well, why not? What terrible thing is going to happen over here? He's going to be Mechatav and Gecholim? It's already in his Bashal called Sarko. So just to add 2 minutes here, because I know our time is gone, but I want to show you in the pages that I gave you that this goes really far. Because I thought, when I read this line of Tzarech Lomar, I thought, you know what, maybe what Tosfos is talking about is this stage, which I call beyond Bishul, but nevertheless beneficial. The food is totally cooked, completely cooked. Kuliyama lo pligi, no one's going to argue about that. But the chefs will tell you, let it cook even longer. And that sort of opened up a little bit of a window for me to say, oh, you know what? In the case of Chazara, after all, it's Shabbos, we have to be very careful. It's an Einu Garf, Einu Katuv, it's an open flame with the coals and so forth and so on. Maybe he wants to cook it beyond Kol Tzarko because it improves the food. That's what I thought. But Rabosai, that is wrong. What I just told you is wrong. And although I was very excited about it, it's wrong. How do I know it's wrong? Because if you take a look at the page that I gave you, you will see that on the bottom of page 1, going on to page 2, we have something called the Shulchan Aruch, our good friend the Shulchan Aruch, who dedicates Simon Reish Nun Gimel to this sugya that we're learning now, the law of Akira with regard to putting a kedera on top of the kira. And he says that, and this is the first 3 lines of the Shulchan Aruch, which is, if you're counting up from the bottom of the page, on page 1, you'll see it about 5 lines up from the bottom. This is the third line of this. But basically, the first 3 lines, he presents the thesis that in the case of Akira, which has coals in it, you're not allowed to violate the Isur Shehiya and leave a pot on the flame, on the open flame on Erev Shabbos. Ela im kein nizbashel kol tzarko v'hu mitztamik v'ralo delekel emecha shem yichat. So you want to underline those words, starting almost at the beginning of line 3 until the first 4 words of line 4. And basically what he's saying is that there are only 2 scenarios in which we're going to allow Shehiya on Erev Shabbos in an Eino Garf Eino Kot on an open flame. One is going to be what's called Mitztamik V'ralo, and the other is going to be O Shehaya Chai. It was absolutely raw and it hadn't started cooking at all. Now that sugya of chai, we're not ready for yet, if it's raw, that's called hesek hadas. But what we're interested in is the first case. And he's talking about shehiya, and he's saying that it's not enough to be matir shehi on an open flame to say that it was nispashal called sarko, you have to add another condition. It's got to be nispashal called sarko umitztamik virala. So if it's nispashal called sarko, there's going to be an isa shehiya. And that's, of course, way, way, way against Chananya. Apparently, the Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rabbanan of Chananya, which is okay. They're the majority rules. Because Chananya would have been matter this even if it only reached Kemichael ben Josai. But beyond that, even if we pass like the Chachamim, he says, don't think in your mind that if it's fully cooked, you're allowed to leave it on the fire. No. It's got to be fully cooked to the point in which any additional cooking on the fire will be detrimental. If any additional cooking beyond 100% will be beneficial, then it's us. But at least Tosus agrees that in the case of Mitztamik Viralo, he's not at all tempted to increase the flame. That would be like shooting himself in the foot, because it's even worse for his food. From all perspectives, you know, it's getting smaller and smaller, shrinking, and even the chef will tell you, just ruining the taste of the food. There's no Shemi Yechat and it's mut. But that's only Rabosai when? On Erev Shabbos. Now turn to the next page, and he's going to talk about Shabbos itself. Now watch what he says here. Now this is going to be a bit of a challenge for me to show you where we're up to. You know, here we need those, you know, in the modern educational classrooms, they have the text is up on the thing and you take a pointer. So I wish I had a pointer here, because basically this is what I want you to look at here. I don't know if you could find that.
Lamed Vav.
Yeah, if you could circle Lamed Vav. Now that number Lamed Vav is the Mishnah Brura, which I wanted to put on page 3. I didn't get a chance to do that. But the truth of the matter is, the Mishnah Brura himself in Lamed Vav is building himself on the Bir HaGra, which is the Gaon Mivilna's, you know, notes on Shulchan Aruch, which I have in front of me here. Now, what's the case? So I'm going to garble something really fast, right? And I'm going to mumble it even faster than I say Ashrei, so I don't know if you'll catch it. The law is that if you went ahead and you violated the prohibition, in the case of Shia of Shia, in the case of Chazor of Chazorah, then you're not allowed to eat the food. Again, very complicated. During Shabbos, after Shabbos, you, somebody else, Shogeg, Mazin, very complicated soup. But the Shulchan Aruch paskins that im Hichzira, Hichzira Yisrael, that's at the beginning of that same line. In other words, a Jew put the food onto an open fire on Shabbos, then, okay, now we're fast one. In Mitztamik Viralo Mut. If as a result of his putting the pot on the fire on Shabbos, this Jew, again, if it's a guy, the halacha changes, but if the Jew put it on the fire, as a result, he ruined the tavshil, so to speak. I don't mean ruin it in an absolute way, but he made it worse. That's called mitztamik viralo. Then, if he would now be allowed to eat from this tavshil, has he benefited from the fact that he violated the Isur Chazorah? Did he have any hanoah from that? Rabbo said, this is not a rhetorical question. I'm asking, I want a response here to make sure you're still awake after an hour that we've learned together.
Answer is no. No benefit.
No benefit. So he's allowed to eat it. Now, says the Mishnah Brura, and again he's standing on the shoulders of the Vilna Gaon, if the Mechaber is telling you that if you went ahead, bid the evidence, you violated the Isur Chazorah, then you're allowed to eat this food because it was mitztamik viralo, what conclusion can I derive thereof?
If it's mutter for chazara for sure for Hashaya before Shabbos?
No, again, we're talking about chazara on Shabbos. And the Mechaber says, you went ahead and you violated the Isur Chazorah. You did what you're not supposed to, you're a bad boy. We're going to patch you on your hand. Right? Or as my father used to do, he would take, you know, he would go like this. I never saw him take off his belt, but he would loosen his belt. My mother, on the other hand, I don't want to go into detail, you know. We got a few hangers that were broken or whatever. Anyway, so we're going to give him a patch for violating the Isur Chazor. But in case X, which you're going to fill in for me, he's allowed to eat the food, even though he violated the Isur Chazor. What's case X? It's Tami Piralo. Rabosai, what conclusion do you derive from this line, and this is the conclusion of the Vilna Gaon, of the Shulchan Aruch?
No benefit, Yerla?
No? No, again, I'm going to say it one more time, because I know you guys are going to give me the answer. He went ahead, and he did something, and we're going to take off the belt, and we're going to patch him. But he's allowed you to be. No. But again, you're giving me explanations. You're always a step ahead of me. But what conclusion do you derive about the nature and the scope of the Isur Chazara? How far does it apply?
All the way.
Yes, even right. What?
Mistabik
Yapo. No! David, you heard me. I'm shooting arrows at me. Even if it's Mistabik Viralo. Again, if you're allowed to do Chazara in the case of Mistabik Viralo, what's the Shulchan Aruch talking about here? He's telling me that B'dieved, I already did it, I'm allowed to eat the food. What do you mean I already did it? I'm allowed to do it. The Tzadik Hador is allowed to do it. I could be Reb Moshe Feinstein, and I'm going to put it on the fire because it's already reached the state of what? Of Mitztamik Viralo. The answer is that even though he violated the Iser of what? Of Chazara, despite the fact that it was Mitztamik Viralo, B'dieved, he's not going to benefit from that Issa that he violated, and therefore we're going to allow him to eat the meat. Now, we just finished saying on page 1 that with regard to Shehiya, Mitztamik Viralo is Mutter. In other words, if I put my pot on the fire at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, at the time of Knesset HaShabbos at 4 p.m., 2 hours later, it's already reached the state of Mitztamik Viralo. Everybody agrees that it's Mutter. Now you're telling me on the second side of the page that had it been Chazara on Shabbos itself, it would be Asur even though it's Mitztamik Viralo. Albeit you wouldn't be punished for that. No fine and penalty if you violated that Isur, but the Isur exists. It's not, we see clearly that there's a fundamental difference here which boggles the brain between Shehi on Erev Shabbos and Chazor on Shabbos, where Shehi on Erev Shabbos is only Asur until it gets to the point of Mitztamik Viralo, but once it reaches Mitztamik Viralo, Shehi is Mutter. We're talking about an open flame, it's an Eid of Garf and a Kotum. Chazor is Asur on Shabbos, even in a case of Mitztamik Viralo on an open floor.
So the fire,
and now I'm ready for Shmuel. But it took me a while, you know, to get to where Shmuel's up to. And Shmuel, what Rashi do you want to invoke now? Mechsei Kimavashel. That somehow there's a new concept here called Mechsei Kimavashel. Remember, I asked you not to want two Rashis in our Mishnah. One of them was the Rashi, I think it was the second one, called Mechsei Kimavashel.
Even when it's not really Bishul at all.
For sure it's not Bishul. It could be it's not even Bishul after Kimachel Ben Josai. But let's grant you, and that's, I told you, it's the Magid Mishnah Sheet in the Rambam, that taking it from Kimachel Ben Josai up until Kol Tzarko is Bishul. But everybody agrees that beyond Bishul Kol Tzarko, you're talking about Mitztamik Viralo, that's Makalkil, Kol Makalkil Turin, for sure he's not Chayav for Bishul. And yet Rashi says, Mechsei Kimavashel. And there's a brand new halacha here called Mechsei Kimavashel, which is a rabbinic creation, a baby that the Rabbanan created, which means that we treat it as Bishul, even though it's Mitztamik Viralo. And that's the nature of Chazor. And Mitzvah Shem in this afternoon at 4, at 2:40, at 2:45, I give a chabur to the Kohel once a week. And after that chabur is when I start eating for the next week, because I can't eat, you know, for a full week until, you know, till that chabur, because these guys are pretty advanced. I mean, you guys are pretty brilliant too, but these, you know, I hope you won't be insulted. I mean, these guys like push it a pacha. And we have one student here who's sitting about 10 feet from us, who got the highest grade in the exam for the Rabbanut in the entire state of Israel. for Yoredei Chelik Aleph. That's 150 people who were tested. And for that Chelik of Yoredei, you got to know everything. I mean, it's like more than what you have to study for all your law boards, you know, law exams. You know. Anyway, I got off on a tangent. So with this, I will close for today. But wish me luck, you know, at 2:45. But I'm going to try to make a case for the fact that Chazara and Shehiyah are two fundamentally different concepts. Okay, then?
Okay.
Everyone should have a great day. I teach Chumash at 11 o'clock if anyone wants to learn Parshas Lech Lecha.